Good morning and greetings in the name of Jesus. Okay, this is the last day. This is Saturday, and it's the last day in the series of that I've been having on prayer. It's been a blessing here this morning to speak to you and to share with you about the Word of God, to share with you the and challenge you to a deeper walk with the Lord. Challenge you in prayer, in just simply coming to the Lord Jesus, coming to our Heavenly Father, desiring to hear His will, to speak to Him, to just have communion with Him. Anyway, this morning, my name is Moses Celsus, and I'm here to bring you another daily inspiration. And I'd like to continue on the same theme that I've been on this week, and that is the First Chronicles 5, 20. Maybe you're about tired of me of hearing that. But that's all right, because it's a very important subject to commune with God, to talk with God, and to share our heart with our Heavenly Father. You know, God, that's God's will for us, that we would be able to open our hearts to Him, and that He could hear from us. That's God's will. God, like I said yesterday, I believe it was yesterday, God could have created us puppets that we would have to serve Him regardless of whether we wanted to or not. But God created us for a special purpose. God created us as a people who would bring glory to Him. He created us as a people who would choose to serve Him. And so this morning, it says in First Chronicles, "For they cried out to God in the battle, and He heeded their prayer because they put their trust in Him." And this morning I would again like to ask us all, where is our trust? Is our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Is our trust in our Heavenly Father? Is our trust, at some place it says that some put their faith in, some put their trust in horses. You know, is your trust in horses? Is your trust in your own strength? Where is your trust? Do you trust the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you trust Heavenly Father? Is it is our faith and trust in the Creator of this, of the universe? You know, as I think of this great Creator who created this great big ball that we live on, He created it. Everything that we see is His creation. He made it in 6 days. And it's so wonderful to put our faith and trust in such a Creator. No, this earth and everything that we see, this universe, did not just happen, but it was created with a purpose. God created it with a purpose in mind. And that purpose, I believe, was to bring glory to Him for His enjoyment. But He also wanted us to have joy in our hearts. So he created beautiful things for us to enjoy. Oh, the quietness beside a lake or something like that on a beautiful morning. How beautiful it is to take a stroll, to take a walk along the lake and to just see the beauty of the sun, reflection of the sun, the sky off the lake. And how beautiful it is to walk along a rippling stream and to hear the ripples of the water as it runs down over the rocks and the pebbles. How beautiful. And you know, the purification that takes place as the water runs amongst the little pebbles and the rocks, the water gets purified, the dirt gets filtered out, and it's crystal clear. In a mountain stream, in a spring there, it's so crystal clear. And yes, many times it's actually pure enough to drink. Now, of course, you don't want to drink out of a polluted stream, but when it comes out of a mountain and rippling down amongst the pebbles, it's a purification. The water gets purified. And you know, as we listen to the Word of God, our hearts can be purified. Our hearts can be purified. That's what God has designed this earth in such a beautiful way. God has designed our bodies and our minds in such a beautiful way. Oh, let's give glory and honor to our Heavenly Father. Let's give glory and honor to the King, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. How beautiful and how wonderful and how awesome it is to serve this awesome and wonderful God. You know, this morning and this week, I could have just motivated you from the Word of God to spend more time in prayer, to spend more time in deep search of our Creator. Read the Word of God. Spend time in prayer. There was a man back in the early 1900s. His name was Joseph Kemp. Joseph Kemp. I don't know if you've ever read about Joseph Kemp, but it was Joseph Kemp was a man that gave his heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me just read a few excerpts out of this story. I'm going to be reading a little bit out of How They Prayed, Volume Number 3, Missionaries and Revival, by Edwin and Lillian Harvey. It's published by Harvey and Tate. It's a book, it's a very challenging book of missionaries and revival. And this particular chapter here talks much about prayer. And if I could figure out where to start here this morning. Okay. Well, like I said, it was in the early 1900s. And But Joseph Kemp soon saw that it must be a choice between more learning or the much-needed revival. Joseph Kemp realized that there was revival needed in the land. Seems like maybe he realized that, well, he was actually studying in seminary, I believe, in some big school he was studying, and he soon realized that he must make a choice between more learning or the much-needed revival, and he chose the latter. And instead of losing himself in study, he began an intense private and public prayer campaign, getting in prayer meetings whenever and wherever possible. Okay, I'm just kind of skipping through here, and I just want you to get a few excerpts out of this thing, little article. A prayer meeting was held every night for over a year, at which some 200 people would be present. Was it any wonder that their burden for the priceless souls of men and women increased to boiling point? Souls were frequently saved, but the praying group was not satisfied. They longed for a letting loose of the heavenly flood tides. So are you longing for a deeper, are you longing for revival in your church, in your land, in your community? Are you longing for a great revival? You know, we read about revivals from the past, and my desire is that there would be revival. But you know, if you read the history of revivals, there's always, I believe, if I know my history right, that there is always a someone or a group of people that have prayed. And here, it says this group of people, 200 strong, gathered together every night for over a year, at which 200 people would be present. 200 people every night. How would you do? How well would you and I attend a prayer meeting every night? But you know, when we get desperate with God, God is willing to come down. God is willing to help us. The meetings on the Lord's Day were marked by an earnest outgoing of the soul to God in prayer. It was, however, at a late prayer meeting held in the evening at 9:30 that the fire of God fell. There was nothing humanly speaking to account for what happened. Quite suddenly, upon one and another came an overwhelming sense of the reality and the awfulness of his presence and of eternal things. Life, death, and eternity seemed suddenly laid bare. Prayer and weeping began and gained in intensity every moment. You know, how do we gather together? When we have prayer meeting, what's our prayer meeting like? Do we go around the circle and do our duty and offer a little prayer of thanksgiving, praise to God, and then we're done? Or do we come to God with a burden? Do we come in earnestness? The Bible says that gebet das gerecht im Mensch vom Ziel manchlich ist. The prayer of a righteous man availeth much when it is earnest. When it is, I think that's the right interpretation there. God wants us to come and pray. God wants to hear from us. God wants us to put our heart into prayer. God wants us to be faithful in prayer. God wants to hear from us. And here it says, but it is at the house of God where judgment always begins. You know, we wonder why the church, why the country is going the way it is, why it's such a chaotic country, and things are just not, many things are just not handled right anymore. And laws are being passed to the advantage of ungodly people, the advantage of people groups who are very, very ungodly. And why? Why? Why, we wonder. But you know, it's at the house of God where judgment begins. If we as a church don't rise up, if we as a church don't start praying, the Bible tells us to pray for the leaders of the lands and pray for rulers and all these people. The Bible wants us to be, to pray and to, God wants us to pray. Okay, here it says about this prayer meeting. It says the chapel was opened all day on the 1st of January, and meetings were held at 11 and at 3 and at 6:30. At every meeting, especially in the afternoon and evening, God drew near. The afternoon meeting got entirely beyond a cut-and-dried program and resolved itself into one of prayer, confession, testimony, and praise. Where judgment must begin at the house of God is in 1 Peter 4:17. When people come together with a burden to pray, brethren have been reconciled to one another. Differences which kept sisters apart have been destroyed. That was the case here in this revival meeting. In this revival that took place back there in the early 1900s. Brethren were reconciled one to another. Differences which kept sisters apart have been destroyed. Many testified to victory over novel reading, dancing, theater going. Beyond our ordinary services on Lord's Day, there has been very little or no preaching, while the work has been chiefly confined to the saints of God, purifying, humbling, purging, cleansing. There have been numerous conversions, but these have all taken place during the time of prayer, and prayer usually of a tumultuous sort. You know, it was not just an ordinary prayer meeting. Okay, in conclusion, O God, revive thy work, the prophet cried, and let us today re-echo the plea and add, Lord, let it begin in me now. Let it begin in me now. Lord, we need revival in the churches. Lord, we need revival in the land. But, oh, I need revival in my heart. How many times do we think, yeah, the land needs revival, the country needs revival, the churches need revival. Do we really realize that I need revival in my own heart? That's a challenge for us, isn't it? That God would bring revival in my heart. You know, the heart is desperately wicked. And many times we are deceived by our own heart. But God wants us to cry out to Him. God wants us to make a people purified unto Himself. So find a few friends that you can find that you can share with, and start meeting together for prayer. Start meeting every week. Start meeting as often as the Lord leads you to. Just get together and start praying. Or just start praying in your own private closet. Spend time with God. Ask God to bring other people into your prayer meeting and bring you a burden. You know, there's a beautiful thing that can happen if you have a designated evening for prayer, and maybe a few families are gathering together for prayer, and you ask God before you go, Lord, put your burdens upon my heart so that we can gather together, upon our hearts, so that we can gather together and pray these burdens back to you. You know, I don't understand how prayer works. I don't understand how prayer moves the hand of God. I don't understand that. But we have many accounts in the Bible where prayer, men of God were able to pray and move the hand of God. So, no, I don't understand how it works, but I know it works. And I just praise God for it. I praise God for the avenue of prayer. I just wish that I could spend more time in prayer. So let's close here this morning with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I do thank you this morning for your blessings, for your love and goodness. I thank you, dear God, that you have called us out of darkness into this marvelous light. I just pray now this morning, be with us, guide us, give wisdom to those who are seeking for you. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, and even for the listeners here this morning, dear God, that they could have been motivated to higher ground, motivated to deeper relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And, dear Heavenly Father, we just commit each one to you, and trust that you will have your way. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, our beloved Savior. Amen. All right. God bless you. And it's been a blessing to share with you this week. Trust that you have also received the blessing. And I pray that your hearts would be drawn to God. And if you have any questions, have any thoughts, feel free to give me a call. My phone number is 717-656-9576. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Yeah. May God's grace be upon you.